cat, pussy cat. I've got flowers and lots of hours to spend with you. So go and powder your cute little pussy cat nose. Pussy cat, I love you. Yes, I do.
I love Tom Jones. That music means one thing, that Tom Jones was just singing. I mean, it means also that Steve Dale is live in the Allstate Showcase studio. He's our pet expert and knows so much about all things animal. You liked my photo with Declan doing his horseback riding therapy.
I love that. How can I not? I mean, what these... You tell me. So did you expect... Whatever happened, and what did happen?
Well, no,
and we
Declan's,
should back up and
Declan's
explain,
been riding
right?
since he was 2 years old, actually.
Okay.
He's been in hippo. He's 10 years old now. He's been doing hippotherapy for
and
8 years.
Explain what that is for people who don't know.
There are different stables throughout the Chicagoland area, and actually throughout the country, I'm guessing throughout the world, where they have found that horse therapy is helpful for children of all, and adults of all abilities, in particular when it comes to developing core muscle strength. Declan has hypotonia and scoliosis, so balance for him is very hard, and there's not just the movement of the horse. There's something about the gait of the horse, the way he moves, that, you know, a child and an adult has to like maintain balance. There's a connection with an animal. There's something about the confidence of being on this beautiful creature that I think a lot of children connect with. One of the things that's great too about hippotherapy is it's something that my boys can do together. It's the one thing they really do together. Declan often has a therapy who work with him. So when he rides, they have different games that they play, whether it's pushing a ball. So, like, you know, he's on the horse and he also pushes a ball, which works his ab muscles, his back muscles, his arms, his eye-hand control. He does games where he throws, you know, it's kind of like cornhole, where you throw a beanbag into a game. So it's a really wonderful thing. But now one of the things that he does is he goes to several stalls when he's done and basically greets a horse. So he goes in and he likes to bop on the nose, like a little gentle, but they're all very gentle. Plus, they know they're about to get a carrot. So it's very sweet. And
knowing, I presume there isn't much every day that Declan has a lot of control over.
Right.
Now he's got control over this 300-pound animal.
Yeah, all the things that he does. Yeah. But once a week, he gets to be astride one of the horses.
And by the way, you described the reason why I said stop, you do this. I was right. You did this much more articulately than I could.
It's been wonderful. We are so grateful. First, it was City Kids that introduced us to therapy riding at the Harms Woods over in Skokie Old Orchard.
Sure.
And then we were introduced by Rick Young, who's a friend of mine, to Equestrian Connection up in Lake Forest. And they are wonderful people out there. It's fully devoted to therapy riding. And whereas, you know, there are stables that kind of incorporate it, but Equestrian Connection is entirely about creating an environment that builds, builds confidence, builds strength, builds bonds. So speaking of bonds, we have...
I need to do a story. Could I quote you if I do a story at some point?
Of course.
In a few months?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because,
come out to Equestrian Connection. I'll give you a tour. They know me.
I believe
they know me.
Well, anywhere where you go, they know you.
They know me.
Which is another topic, but
yeah, I get a little in people's faces.
No. It's an amazing thing, and yes, you described it extremely well. And
thank you.
I should do an. It's been a couple of years since I've done a print story on it. The last print story I did, there was this lady in town. She came to town because she's a contributor, a benefactor of one of the organizations. I forget the name of it, but it's in the southwest suburbs, I think.
Okay.
And her name is Betty White. And I kind of followed her around and did but that was a couple of years ago. So it's time I do another one.
They employ people who have, again, who maybe graduated from their programs, have ridden for a long time. There's a Boy Scout troop building a sensory garden. There's a Boy Scout troop that has been working with Equestrian Connection for years, doing all kinds of work around. It's beautiful. They also do outdoor riding too in the summertime, obviously. So yeah, I'll take you out there.
The other thing about what we just talked about. And all these people involved to make life better for people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we often hear about the bad stuff going on. You hear a lot of people doing good stuff.
Oh, no doubt about it. Yeah, let's focus on the good stuff.
Yeah.
Let's focus on keeping our pets safe and warm during the cold weather.
Have you noticed it's cold?
It's been a little chilly.
Yeah.
It's been a little chilly. I mean, and I think there's a tendency in this kind of weather to just open the back door, let them run out, and then get them back in the house.
And that's okay. First of all, if you know they did what they were supposed to do out there.
Right.
So I get emails all the time at this time of year saying, my dog was fine, is now having accidents in the house. Now, it could be all sorts of reasons, but most of the time, the dog runs out, and if you're a little dog,
you
just come running back in. They don't do anything out there.
Yeah, plus it's scary for small dogs. If the snow is high, too, they fall into the snow.
They do. That's not good.
That's a weird sense. Can you imagine going outside to take care of your business, Craig, and you fall into a huge pit of snow? It's like, that would be daunting.
That would be terrible.
Why would you go out and go to the bathroom again?
Is that like a snow sinkhole?
It's a snow sinkhole.
That's
what it would seem like to dogs like Monty.
Well, it kind of is. Yeah. And for older dogs, it's a problem because they bounce around in the snow. They're having a good time, but it's like Craig over there, if you're 80 years old, maybe not him.
No, correct. Exactly correct.
No.
Yep. 80 or so.
You'll feel it the next day, and these dogs do. That's another problem. The other thing
is they start to ache.
The street salt.
Oh, for the paws.
Yeah. Mm. So you see these dogs do this little dance. So they sweat a little bit, some dogs, between their paw pads.
Mm-hmm.
So between that, the temperature itself, which is really cold, and the salt, which is caustic, they are not dancing because they want to be Britney Spears. They're dancing because it hurts.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does. So you could wipe their paw pads when they come in, first of all, so you don't have salt on your carpeting.
So would you use like a washcloth that you kind of have on hand?
With warm water.
With warm water. Right, because you get some of that salt.
The other thing you could do is the kitchen spray like Pam that you use for pots and pans.
Uh-huh.
You could spray that on your dog's paw pads. And
before
the salt,
they go out?
Uh-huh.
When they come in?
No, before they go out. And the salt doesn't stick to it.
It's a barrier.
Yeah.
It works on your pans. It works on your paws.
It does.
Not just pans anymore.
That's their advertising campaign
now. I don't think it is.
And also there's a product called Musher's Wax that's available at many pet stores. And you could use that as well on their paw pads.
Spray seems easier.
Or a little booties.
Sorry, Musher's pads.
You just put their paw on the musher pad stuff. It's like Vaseline kind of.
Okay, talk about the booties because it's so cute when you put boots on dogs for the first time. They are very confused.
So people think it's a foo-foo thing to do. I will tell you, the Iditarod dogs.
Yes.
They have booties. These are man's dogs. And they wear little booties too.
Sure.
But yes, you're right. When you put on the booties, do that again for the cameras.
Yes.
Yes. That's exactly what they do.
They try to get out of the booties.
Uh-huh.
Do you want me to make Steve Dale say booty again? Say booties again.
Booties.
Booties.
Come on, let's do it.
Yes.
I like talking about your booty or
booties,
the dogs.
Dog's booties. So,
yeah, that's
booties.
What I meant.
But also say man's dog.
Man's dog.
A man's dog.
I didn't realize that was what you were laughing at. I thought it was
booties. Well, both.
All right, then.
Man's dog wears booties.
Booties. So, yeah.
It's much funnier when she says it, actually.
One more time. One more time, Esmeralda.
A man's dog wears booties.
Aw.
A man's dog wears booties.
Very well done.
She does it better.
But the man's dogs with the booties try to get out of the booties. They try to step out of them. So how do you get them to acclimate?
Sometimes you don't. In reality, the Velcro ones are better because they tend to stay on. So the problem with
it is fun to watch, though. You see them like trying to shake.
Yeah, and they do eventually. So there goes your $8 per leg.
Booty.
You know, yeah, per booty.
Mm-hmm.
So it's. You hate wasting money on booties. So the tie ones don't work as well. The Velcro ones tend to work better.
Okay. That's good to know. By the way, Peachy has a question about one of our cats.
About booties?
Oh, no. Hey Peachy.
Hello.
What's your question about the cat?
Hey, Peachy.
Cats?
Yeah, I'm going to be moving, and if everything goes right, I'll be moving into the Elgin area.
Uh-huh.
But I can't take they only allow two cats. And I got more than two cats. Hush. And I've got one that's a TNR. I opened the door one day and he came.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, he's a real sweetheart, but he still won't let me touch him.
So
he's friendly enough, but he won't let people touch him.
How long ago did you bring in the cat?
A year ago. It'll be a year mark.
Okay. Yeah, it takes time with these cats that are accustomed.
But I'm out of time. That's the problem.
What do you mean
and
you're
no
out of time?
No shelter is going to take them.
No. So why is it it's not an Elgin law, is it?
No, but the apartment I'm moving into is 2 four-legged animals, period.
Well, it sounds like you
so
have
I was thinking
to.
Maybe a sanctuary. That way you'll be protected.
Well,
what
sanctuaries? I don't know. Do you know any sanctuaries? I don't. So, first of all, I don't understand because you said you have two cats and the place only allows two cats.
Well, no.
No, she has more than two cats.
Oh,
she's not giving us the number.
Okay.
And he's a solid black cat. So
he's not going to be adopted out. You've got to find a way to move somewhere that just allows, unless you have way too many cats.
I'm trying to kind of sneak them. Technically, I got four cats. And,
okay.
Right. And I've gotten three of them are over the age of 12.
I don't know what
so
to tell
to
you.
I'm trying to work with the landlord to keep three of them and find a place for Bathsheba.
Well, I don't know why if you can keep three, you can't keep four. I don't understand. I don't know what to tell you.
He's so skittish. He's sweet. He's got a foot fetish. He loves to lick my feet. So.
Well, I wish you best of luck with that. I hope you find a solution there, Peachy. Good luck.
Good luck.
You
find somewhere. If you have four animals, you find somewhere to move that allows four animals. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
But life happens and people get in circumstances. It's tough. But I don't have a magic answer for that. I mean, the shelters are filled with cats and it's not like there's a sanctuary around every corner. I wish there was. There is no such thing.
No, there's not. We'll take Jill's question after this. We are hanging out with Steve Dale, pet expert. You can go to stevedalepetworld.com to read everything that he has to share with you. He's also a Chicago Tribune blogger. You can go to chicagonow.com/Steve Dale. More after this on 720 WGN. Oh, yeah, and Sunday mornings at 6:30.
Yes.
I've heard it both ways. More after this, 720.
Ooh, both.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time.
You are listening pretty late. Our guest, Steve Dale, joins us live in the Allstate Showcase studio. You can go to stevedalepetworld.com for all of his wonderful work. Jill has a question. She's been on the line for a couple minutes. Hey, Jill, how are you doing?
Good morning.
Hi, you guys. I'm doing good. Getting over a little winter cold, but it was sort of funny. The lady was talking about her black cat. My black cat jumped on the bed, and right now my Siamese is on the bed with me in a box. Little Frodo, he's two. He's a pistol. Siamese are pistols.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, they had both gotten into the habit. I had a drip in the tub, and the plumber finally came and fixed it. So they don't want a drip because it's dripping into another apartment, so it's got to be off. So they weren't drinking. They wouldn't drink out of a regular water bowl or whatever. So I ordered this Drinkwell mini fountain. It's like a bubbler.
Yep.
Yeah. And the Siamese used to cry and look at the faucet and cry and look at me like, you know, trying to get me to get it. And he stopped it, but I haven't caught them drinking out of it. I think they may be drinking out of it, but I'm not sure. Like, I've tried putting a little water on their face from it and showing them, like...
Well, don't put water on their face. That's not pleasant. No, no. What I would do is I would give the cats choices. So set up water dishes in different places around the house. And if you can, unless you think they're going to spill it, put one or two up high somewhere, one or two just in another room, bathroom, wherever you want. It doesn't matter. And then keep the current one that you have now. The great thing is that a lot of cats do like running water, and it is appealing to them. It also keeps the water fresher, and that's probably what it has more oxygen in it, and that's probably what's most appealing.
It looks very clean.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a great night. I hope you feel better soon, too. Get over that cold. We were also going to talk about how people can help stop puppy mills.
Yes.
Stop it.
Well,
can you stand in front of them and just say, stop it?
You could.
Okay.
You cannot buy ever from a pet store.
Mm-hmm.
Which
don't do it.
Really is.
Just say it in your own head. Stop it.
Actually, call the police. If they're selling dogs in Chicago or Cook County at a pet store, they shouldn't be.
Okay.
Because it's now against the law to do that. But you can help the Chicago Puppy Mill Project. There's this book featuring all these Chicago celebrities and their pets. in the most unique places sometimes, most surprising places. So Janet Davies is in there from WLS-TV.
Nice.
Walter Jacobson from these days, he contributes here. Rick O'Dell from MeTV and FM Radio and AccuRadio. The old guy on TV, Paul Lisnick, that's the guy.
That one.
Yeah. He's the oldest there is on TV. From Politics Tonight, Cook County Commissioner John Fritchie, Roz
Varon. That's an inside joke somehow, but go ahead. John Fritchie, yes.
He's old, Lisnick. Roz Varon of WLS-TV, many, many more. And me, we're all in this book, and others. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful coffee table book. The photographs by Karen Morgan is her name, the photographer. Extremely talented lady. You can go to the ChicagoPetProjectBook.com, ChicagoPetProjectBook.com. You can see lots of examples of photos if you purchase the book. All of the proceeds, not some of the proceeds, all the proceeds go to the Puppy Mill Project.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it is.
I love that.
It is.
All right. More with Steve Dale when we come back after this break on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, hanging out with Steve Dale, our pet expert. You can hear him Sunday mornings at 6:30
and
find everything he writes at chicagonow.com/Steve Dale and SteveDalePetWorld.com. And do you have other topics? What else did you want to share with us?
Sure. So you can see me.
Yes, I can. You're right here.
Oh. Yeah. On February 7th at 2 o'clock, I'll be in Plainfield at Narnia Pet Behavior and Training with Dr. John Sarabassi. I'll be talking about what anxiety looks like in dogs.
Okay.
And Dr. Sarabassi will be talking about separation anxiety, which appears to be more common than, say, 5 or 10 years ago, and what to do about it.
What does separation, what does anxiety in your pet look like?
Well, and what doesn't it look like also? So sometimes,
I know there's a lot more, but sometimes.
So sometimes we mistake other things for other things. I mean, so a dog.
Easy for you to say.
That doesn't make much sense. But I can explain.
I diagram that sentence. Don't worry.
I can explain it. I can decode the sentence. So if a dog, for example, looks out the window a lot, waiting for somebody seemingly, some owners say the dog is anxious. And I would say maybe the dog may be anxious, but just having a good time looking out the window.
Right.
Another example is,
what if they want to go outside? Maybe they want to get away from
you.
Yeah,
yeah, all those things.
Like, anywhere but with this person.
Maybe.
Please.
A yawning dog.
Okay.
Could be a tired dog. And that's actually a sign of anxiety in dogs.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there are all this long list of things.
Or also you're boring and that dog wants to sit by the window.
So I actually feel sorry for my dogs on a
daily basis.
No, because there I am on the phone hour after hour interviewing all these experts. Right.
And the dog's
yawning. And they're, what is this? It's boring. But it's interesting because when you're on the phone and you're talking to the cable company, because once again, your cable is out. Dogs will respond one of two ways. I guarantee this, or your money back.
Okay.
Either
how
they
much
will
are we paying you.
Hmm?
How much are we paying you for the money back? I don't want to know how much I'm getting. I'm kidding. So
twice as much as I get.
There you go. Oh, that's a lot. I can handle that.
So either the dog will look for affection from you at that time, or try to console you.
Okay.
Or the dog will leave the room and hightail it out of there. So really, if dog owners will call and can call and confirm this, when you're anxious or upset yourself, our dogs seem to feel that.
Oh, sure.
And depending on the dog, they respond by either looking for attention or trying to console you, or they get worried and just leave.
Right.
They don't want any part of it.
Wow, man.
But it's one of those things. I mean, they really do feel what we feel.
Oh, and it makes sense. I mean, it's energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a relationship. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense to me. We have Chris on the line who has a question about one of her friends. Hey, Chris, what's up?
Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you doing? Great, Patty.
Sorry. Go ahead.
It's the strangest thing. My mom's cat, she had passed away. Whenever you walk and he's walking next to you, he walks in front of you.
Yes.
Constantly.
Yeah,
What is that? What's he mean? What's that supposed to symbolize?
Cats just do that. I don't think it symbolizes anything. And sometimes they zigzag. Mm-hmm. So it makes it very difficult not to fall on your face because you don't know
Absolutely.
Which way the cat...
Yeah, they get right in your path.
Yeah. I don't think it signals anything in general. Now, sometimes they're leading you to something. Usually the refrigerator, if it's dinner time. You know, it's like a follow me thing, and the tail is up in the air.
Oh, yeah.
And the ears are up, and the cat's maybe chirping, almost, it sounds like, and essentially leading you somewhere. But oftentimes, it's just that's the way cats walk. They don't, you know, a dog will walk to your side or in back of you,
right.
Sometimes in front of you.
But they follow, right.
Yeah, but a cat, and cats don't seemingly know. They know we're there, but they don't care. I mean, they're just like walking their way, you know. So what you can do if it's a concern, what you could do is keep something in your pocket, like a little mouse toy, and toss it in one direction, and your cat will go in that direction instead of walking back and forth in front of you.
Okay.
Interesting.
Even when you walk faster, he walks faster.
Well, I mean, you know, our pets want to be with us. Mm-hmm. Cats, too. So it could just be that you're, and it's common that your cat wants to be with you. That's all. That's all.
There you go.
It's just the way they walk, though. They don't walk by your side. They walk any which way because you, after all, have a cat.
All right. Well, there you go. A little mystery addressed. I like it.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Great show, Patty.
Thank you, Chris. Have a great night.
Thank you, Chris.
I have a cat question, Steve Dale.
Esmeralda.
Oh, I didn't know.
He looked like a dog being a fan all of a sudden. He was like,
where did that come from?
I have a cat, and I've started seeing someone, and my cat, the second, and she does this to strangers, just friends and things, she immediately starts to growl and hiss at them, and I get it because he's new and she's not used to him, but he'll be just hanging out, and she'll come over, and she'll sit somewhere and just growl.
Well, we want to fix
And she's made strides where she'll, like, jump on his lap, and then he'll try to pet her, and she'll be kind of cool with it, and then she'll, like, and she'll snap at him, and then she'll leave.
Okay, so what he needs to do is nothing.
Yeah, I'm wondering, is there anything to appease her, or is it just time?
It's just time. I mean, I'll give you a couple of ideas. First of all, when you know he's going to come over, plug in a feel-away diffuser. Feel-away is a copy of a pheromone. That is an anxiety buster, actually, in cats. And it's, you know, when cats rub their cheek pads against a chair leg or
right.
a table leg?
Yes.
They're depositing a pheromone. And that pheromone, in cat language, is saying, whoa, I'm comfortable, I'm pleased, and I'm marking you as mine. And this is a copy of that pheromone. So it's a brilliant thing, and that's one idea. Another idea is, what's your boyfriend's name?
Colin.
Colin should never initiate anything with that cat. You know when you have like 10 people over?
Right.
And Aunt Gertrude just doesn't like cats. Right. Everybody else loves cats. Who does the cat go to?
Aunt Gertrude.
Of course. Right. Because in cat language, it's rude if you don't know someone to go up to them. Cats are sort of like, I'll introduce myself when I have time to do it, under my terms. They're kind of control freaks.
Yeah.
So let your cat be in control of Colin. So when he jumps in Colin's lap, Colin can give him a treat, and that should be it. And an amazing, high artillery treat. Somehow the most amazing treat appears out of his pocket when your cat jumps in his lap. But I wouldn't pet him yet. And then when you're ready down the road and he pets him, one pet, and then ignore the cat as if the cat never even exists.
See, we do that. And she'll just come over and just sit there and like it's like she's stewing. Like I said, she knows he's there and she doesn't like it. So she just sits there and growls.
Well, it's probably true.
And stares at the window and growls.
It's probably true.
Like, what is wrong?
So we want to adjust that relationship. So if every time Colin came over, your cat got a special liver treat or whatever your cat likes, those little dental treats, whatever. Whatever it is your cat really likes. I mean, really likes. And if every time Colin came over, some of those treats appeared sooner than later, your cat will associate that with Colin. Another thing is play is a great stress buster. Okay. So if Colin took that interactive toy a fishing pole type toy with a feather or fabric at the end of the toy and went whoosh, 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 whoosh. Just a few minutes, just like 2 minutes, no more with the cat. The cat seems to associate that fun with the person on the other end of the toy.
Okay. Can it I also, tell you we have given her, she loves chicken, and mm-hmm. he's tried to give it to her, and she's refused it.
Well, then just put it on the ground or right next to him.
Make him put butter on his toes.
Huh?
Okay.
That gets a little kinky.
Yeah, that's a bit. All
it's
right.
actually an episode of Gilmore Girls. Do you remember when Rory comes home, Craig? When Rory comes home after she's been gone for a while, and Lorelai has a dog in the house.
Yeah.
And she tells her to put butter on her toes to make the dog like her.
That works, right?
She's just messing with her daughter.
No. With dogs, that really would work. So I actually told someone they were in a divorce case and they didn't know who was going to get the dog. And I told this person in a newspaper column across the country to go into court smearing her.
Pocket of liver.
But in my case, it was the chicken juice all over her arm. Mm-hmm. But under the sleeves, but no one would know except the dog.
Sure.
And indeed, the dog did know, rocketed right to her.
I'd go home with her, too. She smells like chicken wings. Mm-hmm. Here's Helen, who has a question.
Hi, Helen.
Hey, Helen.
Hi. I'm happy to talk with you. I have a question about my two cats that I inherited. They are brother and sister, and one is a big male, and the other one is a small female. And when they first came here, the female hardly ever had whiskers. And I finally realized that the male was chewing them off.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
And then this continued for a while. I didn't know what to do about it. And then it stopped. But now what he does, instead of eating her, chewing off her whiskers, he chews the hair on just above the eye, going toward the ear. And there's every once in a while, there's a bare spot on both sides of her eyes.
Right. Are they best pals or do they not get along?
Actually, they're a little bit of both. They're like brothers and sisters. They fight occasionally, but most of the time they cuddle up in the same chair, mm-hmm. and they're buddies.
Okay. Well, the question I have is, are they fighting or playing? So sometimes in cats, it's actually difficult to tell. Is there a lot of noise going on, or is it pretty quiet when they interact with one another?
It's pretty quiet, except when they argue. But the strange thing is he'll be licking her. He'll be, you know, how cats lick each other.
Yeah.
And he'll be licking away at her head. And all of a sudden I see his teeth kind of bear down. And I could tell he's doing it. If I know he's doing it, I holler at him and he'll stop.
Yeah, well, you know, it could be that they're best pals, and it's called allo-grooming when cats groom one another, and it's a huge sign of affection. They do that with us, too. They groom us, right? That's a good thing, and this cat just might be doing too much of a good thing and going a bit overboard. What you can do, and it's always a good idea with indoor cats, love the fact that more of our cats are indoors. Much safer for cats. They live longer that way. I don't know too many indoor cats that get hit by cars or...
That would be strange.
Yeah,
be,
I know.
Or get that car's in the wrong place.
Uh-huh. Or get chased by coyotes.
Mm-hmm.
So generally, they live longer lives. They are healthier indoors. Having said that, in one way they're not. We need more enrichment for our cats. We need more for them to do, a more enriched environment. Mm-hmm. So what might help in this case is if this cat had more to do instead of grooming the other cat. So if you occasionally hid some treats in different parts of the house, if you have toys that are up there, over there, you have beds that are up there and over there, lots of resources everywhere, always a good idea for any cat under any circumstance that's indoors anyway, but it seems to me that might help you as well.
Well, they have toys everywhere, mm-hmm. and occasionally the male cat will put his toy in his food bowl.
Yes, they do. But, you know, rotate the toys so they're not the same old toys.
Yeah, I do that.
Good.
I hide some.
Good.
Although sometimes he finds them.
That's perfect. That's
yeah,
exactly
that's the point. Yeah. You find it. That makes sense. Well, thank you, Helen. I hope that helps a little bit. Good luck.
It sure does. Thank you so much.
Of course. Have a wonderful evening. That was fun taking a lot of calls about cats tonight. Let's take a break here. And what we meant to get to when we come back with Steve Dale, Craig Collins, Esmeralda Leon, and you. Don't forget, you got to start sending your videos of people dancing to we didn't have time for it. What we meant to get to, 720 WGN.
No grandma underwear, no here nor there. No politics, no guitar picks, no flashlights, no candlesticks, no time to ran out. That's what this is all about.
You know what, if we don't end this song here, we're gonna run out of time to what we meant to get to, Craig. We won't have time for the segment if we don't. We have so many more verses of that, by the way. Esmeralda, we still have yet to play the entire song, I believe. Right, Craig?
And I will learn every chorus or verse.
It's one of your favorite songs ever.
Love it.
It runs through your head all the time. Oh, Steve Dale is going over the video right now, by the way.
Yes, I am.
Esmeralda, are you a fan of Amy Schumer's?
You know, I haven't really watched her show. I saw that movie that she did.
Trainwreck?
I liked it.
Well, there is a very strange thing happening in the world of comedy. Over the weekend, a comedian named Wendy Liebman, who has been doing comedy since about the 90s, she was Best Female Comic of the Year in the mid-90s when Comedy Central would have those kinds of awards.
Yeah, I remember her. I used to watch a lot of Comedy Central shows. I remember Wendy Liebman.
Thank you. Yeah, she is still performing. She is one of the top female comics in the world. She's like Brian Regan, where if you know who Brian Regan is, you love him, but he is not a household name. They're very successful comics. Wendy Liebman was a regular on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, and she is highly regarded in the world of comedy. I will tell you that right now. She is she is beloved by comics everywhere. I've worked with her several times. I admire her. I respect her. Every time I see her, I'm happy to see her perform. She's incredibly talented. Well, over the weekend, Wendy Liebman posted on Twitter. Let me see if I can get the tweet so I get it accurate. She basically had posted, I don't want to say basically because that makes me uncomfortable. I want to make sure I get the exact quote because it set off a firestorm, and I'm using the word firestorm in place of another word that a lot of comics are actually calling it. So the tweet that she posted kind of accuses Amy Schumer. It doesn't kind of. She accuses Amy Schumer of stealing one of her jokes. Can you find the tweet? Because I really feel uncomfortable not giving the exact wording of it.
And Wendy Liebman is not the kind of hard edge. I mean, you wouldn't expect her to do this unless it really...
That's what is so... and I think this is why it started. I think because Wendy Liebman was the first into the fray, the first one to open the door to these accusations. See, last year, there were people who were accusing Amy Schumer of stealing the late comedian Patrice O'Neill's material to end her set, her HBO special. And that was something that a lot of people, they kind of wrote it off as, well, it's similar. It just, a lot of comics were like, well, it just wasn't original, right? Mm-hmm. It was, if it's similar enough, it's not original. Do you have the
tweet? Yeah, Wendy Liebman's tweet, which she has now deleted, is between Amy Schumer doing one of my best jokes on her HBO special and this meme of my joke, I'm done with social media.
So she posted that over the weekend. And then after that, a director from Arrested Development and a former comedian tweeted at her, you and Kathleen Madigan should talk. Now, Kathleen Madigan is another highly regarded comedian. She is a great writer. She's a great performer. She's had several specials herself. And she also tweeted out confirming the accusation that Amy Schumer steals material. That it was grievous thievery. When I saw that Kathleen Madigan had stepped in, I was like, I mean, this could get ugly. I don't know that it matters to people that don't understand the world of comedy, that don't appreciate what it goes into to being a stand-up comic, to spending decades of your life on the road crafting material, then to see it pop up on a Comedy Central show, a sketch show. Yes,
I have a question. Because I don't honestly know the answer. So for decades and decades,
yes,
there are certain comedians who were known to steal jokes, and they had thriving careers.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, this
and
actually
the joke
this
was
goes
made
back
of that.
This,
I mean,
this goes back to vaudeville. Like this
yeah,
goes back to
the
it's always
Burl
existed.
And,
yeah, Milton yeah, Berle was, and actually, you know, this was something we didn't talk a lot about. Was and I was surprised. I was really impressed with the admiration and regard that comics have for Robin Williams, because Robin Williams was also known to sometimes do material that sounded like somebody else's. The difference being that someone would say, hey, you know, I do that bit or I have a bit that's similar. And Robin Williams was known to write checks to people and apologize. Mm. And the idea being, I think it was his style of comedy was so rapid fire that he would just, you know, not even know where something came from. Maybe heard it from another set. But I was really surprised that when he passed away, like he was never hated for it. And I think that it's there's something about. And I think the reason women, female comedians haven't said anything before this. So there's a third comedian that's come forward. Tammy Pascatelli has said that she also stole one of her jokes from her Comedy Central special. That one turned into she alleges it was one of the jokes in Trainwreck about it's a bit about dressing your man so that he is unattractive to other women.